who you are. And today I pray for Brother Tom, and I ask you to give him clarity of mind and thought. Give him a word for us. I do thank you for this church, the mission-mindedness that it has expressed over so many years. Thank you for blessing her through these years and letting her be a great lighthouse in many ways, vicariously as we've given, sent missionaries, helped work go on all over these United States and all around the world. But today we focus on the now, and we ask you, open hearts. As we look around in this room today, we know there are needs that we could never meet. But God, you are the great need meeter.
Yes.
And so as you move in our midst, we ask you to meet needs today. There's someone here today that needs you. There's someone here that needs to let you be Lord of their life. And as we've sung about that, I pray that it become a reality for somebody today. So bless these moments as we look into your word and as you open our hearts and minds and give us receptivity. We pray for the ears of the hearer to receive and then to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, saints. It's good to be here with you today. And Pastor Carey, thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you. It's always great as a director of missions when you have the opportunity to be in all our churches, but it's even more so when you get a chance to give an award for some type of faithful giving from the congregation. For example, supporting missionaries not only at home and abroad. And so I just praise God for this recognition today. I thank you for your loving heart for missions. And so I thought, Dr. Bates, I was figuring what could I preach on today that would be fitting. So I'm going to preach a mission sermon. And you probably know the text that I'm going to preach from, Acts 1:8. I'm sure as a missionary sending church, that's an important passage, and also John 3:16. And I want to talk to you in a few minutes about planting trees you'll never sit under. But I got to tell you, I love humor. I'd rather laugh than cry. Most of us would. But I got to tell you about a joke that I heard the other day about three ministers. One was Baptist, and one was a Methodist, and one was kind of like a Robert Schuller power of positive thinking type of preacher, and they were out fishing. How many of you here are fishermen? You know, all right, now I got to ask you, how many of you throw the fish back? You know, see, I can't go fishing with you. I am stock the freezer type of fisherman. You know, I figure if you're going to spend that time out fishing and sweating and trying to get the fish in the boat, it's just a crime to throw them back. But anyway, those of you that are release fishermen will probably never invite me, and I'll probably never go. But these guys were out fishing, and to their surprise, the boat tipped over. But even more so, these preachers were shocked that all three of them wound up in hell. And the Baptist guy, he's looking around, and he can't believe he's here. He said, you know, I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't. Talking about salvation, I thought I had salvation, but I guess I didn't. And the Methodist guy's looking around, and he said, I thought I had it, but I guess I lost it. I thought I had it, but I guess I lost it. And I love the Robert Schuller power of positive thinking type of preacher. He looks around, he says, you know, it's not hot, and we're not here. But you know, today we are here, and I want to see what God's going to do in our midst as we think about planting trees that we'll never sit under. And it is an honor to be your new, I've been here about 8 weeks now, new executive director of the Greater Orlando Baptist Association. I come from one of your mission agencies. Up until June 1, I worked for the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. I was one of the directors in church planting and helped start church plants all over the United States and Canada and all our regions. So I feel like I'm at home, folk, Dr. Bates. I'm here with family that loves missions, does missions. And so let's talk a little bit, if we can, about missions. And in a few minutes, I'm going to read a passage of scripture. But I was talking about people that I'm staying with. Some friends from Aloma are basically, they have a little room in the back, and that's where I'm staying until our house closes and stuff. And they were asking me last night, they said, what are you preaching on? I said, well, I'm preaching on planting trees you'll never sit under. And they said, okay, what does that mean? And in a few minutes, you'll get to know more about that. But when I was growing up, my father, who I grew up in a contractor's family, and my dad had a construction company. And all the time during our construction time, Dad would always seem to give me, the oldest son, the jobs that nobody else wanted. I remember one time, for example, that he took me to this big cleared piece of property that looked like just a mud pit. And he said, out there in the middle, you're going to find four stakes. And where those four stakes are, I need you to build an elevator pit. And I'm like, okay. So he dropped off a whole bunch of wood and a generator and a saw and all that and left me a water cooler and said, I'll see you at the end of the day. And so for a week, I built elevator pits around what would eventually become a community of 3-4-story high complexes for people to live in. But when I got there, it was just nothing but mud. Well, this day, my dad decides that I'm planting trees. We're going to do some landscape, and it all of a sudden just stacked along a line were a bunch of palm trees. And Dad just basically said, now I need you to start here, and every 25 feet, I need you to dig a hole and plant a tree. And I was like, thank you, Dad, so very, very much. But I worked for my father, and so I did what he asked me to do. And I dug holes for trees, and when I finally finished, which took quite a bit of time, my dad comes out and he hands me a big bottle of Gatorade and some snacks, and he just sits down under me. And I asked him next to me, and I said, Dad, why am I planting these trees? He said, you're not planting them for yourself. You are planting trees that you'll never get to sit under, Tommy. And don't call me Tommy, by the way. It was okay for my dad. But anyway, so he says, you're planting trees you'll never get to sit under. And, you know, when I thought about that and we talked for a while, it was during that I learned a really incredible lesson for missions, an incredible life lesson. And I hope that you can kind of learn it this morning, kind of vicariously as I share it with you. And that is this life lesson. Here it is. Each and every single one of us is planting trees we'll never get to sit under. We're doing something for the cause of Christ that one of the most valuable lessons that you and I can ever learn, one of the most valuable lessons that we can ever be part of and to think about is what my dad was saying to his young son. It was literally that even though I worked real hard, even though I sweated all day and for many days to plant those trees, that I would never really get to benefit from those trees. I would never get to sit under them. I would never have a house next to them. It would never be part of really my lifestyle and who I was. And in fact, I went to college in just a few months later and never got to even see those trees become so big and large. But somebody else needed those trees. Somebody along that subdivision and in that community needed those trees. And it was part of my dad's responsibility as the contractor to plant those. And so it became my responsibility to get those holes dug, to get those trees planted. And so I rolled up my sleeves, completed the task. And by the time those trees matured, I was well through college and already out in ministry doing other things. And I planted those trees that I would never sit under. And when it comes to missions, you know, it's a lot like planting those trees. When it comes to doing missions, being part of missions, being a missional church, a church who participates in the plan of the Lord, into God's plan for missions, is planting trees that you'll never get to sit under. You'll be planting trees that you never really get to be about. And there are many ways to measure effectiveness in churches. Some people measure effectiveness by just the talents of its singers and wonderful music. Thank you so much today. And some will look at it because of great buildings. This is an incredible facility, and it's fun to be part of this building. And others will count greatness because of what they do in the community and the area in which they reach. But as members of a congregation, and as individual ministers of a local church, not only professional ministers, but lay ministers as well, how would you measure your level of magnitude? I believe it's planting trees that we'll never get to sit under. We're planting trees. And how would you measure today your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ when it is all over? What will others say about this church? And I know the history and the great significance of this church and all the missionaries that this church has sent out for a long, long time. And it's an incredible, incredible history. But what will it be that they remember from you? Will it be your wit? Will it be your greatness into the community? Will it be your international emphasis in missions or your national emphasis in church planning? But let me Let me pose a kind of a question, or maybe a suggestion to you today when we think about missions and we think about the cause of missions. I think maybe the greatest legacy that you could ever have and the greatest legacy that I could ever have and that we could ever leave for the Lord Jesus Christ will be when God finally calls us home to glory and when God finally takes us to be with Him in heaven, is that we really sought to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. Pastor, I love in the bulletin today that there's an insert that talks about 3,800 people groups across the world that need to come to know Jesus Christ. There's a big goal for a missional church, isn't it? A huge goal for a missional church. And a great standard, I think, of greatness, which would allow God to really continue to bless and really would be a reflection maybe later on, is that this church, and I pray that many other churches like it, I pray that in Goba there would be 175 other churches like this church that would be so interested in missions that all that they did, all that they thought about is how to reach men and women, boys and girls that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and so that men, women, boys and girls might get saved and go to heaven when they die. You know, when you think about that, wouldn't it be a worthy goal for all the churches of the greater Orlando Baptist Association? I hope so. I pray so. I pray that we're not just turned inward, but we're looking outward always to reach the world for Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about a church that is unselfish, and certainly you are, you do not get those type of awards from the International Mission Board and from the Greater Orlando Baptist Association without being a church that is really reaching out. When you think about ministers who reach out, you think about a church that is visionary and seeks to reach the world for Jesus Christ, I'm thankful that one of my early things I get to do is come here today and talk to a church that loves missions, a church that loves to reach people for Jesus Christ and reach out and touch a community in which it lives. So we're planting trees that we're never going to ever get to sit under. We're planting trees that others will come after us, others will inherit the work of the Lord after us, and it'll either be to our credit or it'll be to our folly. And I pray that when we look back on Downtown Baptist Church and we look at Greater Orlando Baptist Association in the years ahead, God will find us faithful planting trees that we'll never sit under. You know, I'm kind of reminded of a situation, a family, a little girl, his mother could not figure out whether to allow her to go to a funeral or not. The father had passed away, and she was really trying to figure out whether it would be too hard on the daughter to go to the funeral. But it was the little girl at the funeral who surprised everybody. She was the one that was the most encouraging. She was the one that was the most uplifting, and she would walk around and say, "You know, there are a lot of people that love my daddy. Aren't there? Look at all the people that are here. There are a lot of people that love my daddy." And, you know, and she would walk around and, you know, she'd say, "You know, that isn't my father. My father's up in heaven. That was where my father was for a short time, but now he's up in heaven." And she lifted the faith throughout that whole funeral service of so many other people. She was really the rock. And she reminded them of again and again of the confidence that her dad was in heaven. He was happy in heaven because he knew Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and her dad had sat with that young lady many times and shared with her the importance of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and walked her through that and talked with her throughout the journey. So by the time that father literally went to glory, she was one who encouraged the rest. And he left a legacy literally because of that young daughter with the rest of that family, to be reminded of what all God did for them and just the faith of a little one, a faith of a little one. You know, it's sad sometimes that our legacies aren't that remarkable. I think that's an incredible legacy that a young girl would have listened to her father for so many years growing up, and when it finally comes to that time when he goes home to be with the Lord, that she's the one that's challenging others and reminding others and making others feel good about who they are and what they're doing. So, you know, when we think about planning churches that we'll never sit under, when we think about doing missions in places that we'll never be part of, it does my heart well today to think about Downtown Baptist Baptist Church of Orlando, and it's great mission cause. So if I can, I want to talk to you just a few quick minutes. I'll give you about 4 points this morning about planting trees that we'll never plant on. But, you know, missions is, and missions ever shall be, the heartbeat of New Testament churches. That's what New Testament churches are all about. They're about doing missions. They're about being missional. And missions are to the local church what fuel is to a fire, and it is the means of its very existence. A church that does missions has a great future. A church that is missional has a great day ahead. Reminded what Mel Bruner wrote years ago, and he said this. He said, "The church exists by missions. It exists by missions just as fire exists by burning. Where there is no missions, there is no church. And where there is neither church nor missions, there is no faith." What a reminder. You know, when you say a Southern Baptist church today, it is amazing. When people think about Southern Baptist churches, more than anything else that you could say about a Southern Baptist church is that you could say that they are missional churches. That's what the Southern Baptist Convention was formed in. The principle for which we developed the Southern Baptist Convention was that we would be missional people, that we would seek to do missions, we would organize and be part of missions both home and around the world. So the first passage I want us to think about today, and you probably remember this passage, it's such a simple passage, but it's such a clear passage for us. It's found in John's Gospel in the 3rd chapter, verse 16, and probably the greatest preacher of all times, the greatest evangelist of all times, Dr. Billy Graham, has preached this so many, many times, but I'm referring to this passage of Scripture, and here's what it says. If you don't know it already, if you haven't memorized it or haven't even heard of it before, let me read it for you if I can. It says simply this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What an incredible passage. Have eternal life. And what I want you to really see in this passage this morning and pay attention to is really three words of incredible interest. The first word is God. That's just the first. For God so loved. The second word is love. God so loved. And the third word is the world. That's who God loves. He loves all of us. And if you really want to know what a mission-minded church is and what God has in mind for mission-minded churches, is that they love all people. They love the world. They love each and every single person, not only in their community, but around the world. And so if we love God, then we will love what God loves, and God loves the world. God loves the world, and that's why it's so incredible to be a mission-minded church like you are, to be part of missions the way that you are. Missions, when you think about it, is the heartbeat of the church, but I also believe missions is the heartbeat of the association. Dr. Bates, one of the things that I'll be challenging our churches to do in the very near future, coming in October, is that we will take this heartbeat of being missional seriously, and we'll look at doing missions locally. We'll look at doing missions with around the state and across in other parts of the country, but also we'll be looking at doing missions around the world, not only individually, but together for the cause of Christ. You know, associations were formed originally to be an association of church families, 176 churches strong and growing each and every day. That's what I pray will be the heartbeat of the Greater Orlando Baptist Association. You know, I want you to know something, though, when you think about being missions, there's another passage. And I think it just fits you so much today. It works with you so much today. I know maybe some of you are sitting there today and you're not really knowing exactly what you may have done for the last years about being missionary. But this has been an incredible missionary church. It's been an incredible historically missionary church. But you know what? You're doing missions today. When you give that offering today, when you gave that offering for the last year and you received this award today, someone saying to you, you have helped missionaries all around the world plant churches, reach people for Christ, come into unentered people groups and share the gospel message to them. That's a mission church. In the book of Acts, I love this passage. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And it says, "And you shall be what? My witnesses. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth," the scripture says. You know, when Jesus shared the verse, and he put that verse, you know, he put Jerusalem first. Did you notice that in the passage? He just put Jerusalem first because that was our immediate area, and that's where this church serves. It serves its Jerusalem here today. That's its primary target. But then it goes out further. It goes into Judea and into Samaria, into the state, and even across the country. But then it closes, and it says, what? You shall be my witnesses, both home and abroad, into the othermost parts of the earth. Now, why does a church exist? Have you ever thought about that? Why does a church exist? That was asked recently by George Barna to just a random sampling of people across the country. 1,000 people who attended churches across America were asked this question in their recent poll, and 89% said this: our church's purpose is that we take care of our families and they take care of our needs. Well, there is a degree of that. I would acknowledge that. But what was sad in that study to me was that only 11% of those 1,000 people that were called, and this broke my heart, only 11% said the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. In fact, I would tell you this, that the church exists for those that are not part of it. That's what the church is all about. That's why God put the church on the earth. That's why the Lord has really blessed the church throughout the years. It exists for those that are not part of it. And I would submit to you today that Jesus did not come to this world just to take care of my needs and just to take care of your needs. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, left all that heaven was, all of that eternal glory, and he came to this earth so that he could literally reach men, women, boys, and girls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture says to much is given, much is expected. You know, I want to make three statements here if I could. And you may buy into these. Some of you here today may not buy into these three statements. But think about them. I think if you think long enough about them, you'll eventually buy into them. The first statement is this: Jesus Christ was who he said he was. That's a very simple statement, I know. Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He did what he said he was going to do. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was God in the flesh. He said it was the Spirit incarnate. He said he was the Messiah. He said he was the Savior of the world. And that's certainly who he was. But secondly, Jesus Christ did what he said he did. What did he say that he would do, or he did? He said that he would die for your sins and for my sins. He would die for the sins of the entire world. And he said that he would raise again from the dead, and he'd give you and me eternal life. And then the third thing I would say is simply that heaven and hell are real, and people can only go to heaven through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Only people can only come and expect to go to heaven when they die if they've given their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they've allowed God into their heart, they've asked him to come in, they've said, please forgive me of my sins, and invited him into their life. That's the only way. Now, let me turn it around if I can just for a second. Anyone who does not desire to be used in their own way with their own gifts as a Christian, the own giftedness that God has allowed and worked into your life to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, however it might be. Some it might be through how you work, and some might be through how you minister and all those different things. But a person who doesn't want to do any of that, you know what they're saying? They're saying they don't believe at least one or any of those statements. They don't believe any of those statements. But if you agree with those statements, and I firmly agree with those statements, by the way, then that verse of which I read just a moment ago in Acts 1:8, that verse gives us a great encouragement in how we can be missionaries. Let me give short points, if I can, about how we can be missionaries. Points, when you think about planting trees that you'll never sit under, point number one is simply this: God can use God's power for missions. You know, God wants to bless churches, and he wants to bless individuals who are mission-minded. And I want to give you some great news, and then I want to take a tremendous amount of pressure off you. The first great news is God wants us all to be missionary. God wants all of us to be missionary. Now, the take the pressure off you part is God's not expecting any of us to be perfect. God's not looking for perfect soldiers out there. God's looking for willing soldiers to do missions, to take missions out on the streets here in Orlando, take missions across the country, to take missions around the world. And when you think about how I can use God's power for missions, the first requirement in doing missions for God is the power to carry out missions. In fact, Acts 1:8 says, but when you shall what? Receive power. When you shall receive power. It's not my power. It's not your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the scripture says, when you receive that power. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, as a child of God, you have at your disposal the greatest, greatest power on the planet Earth, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's power, God's Holy Spirit, is His missionary power. Heard a story about a man who was looking at a Niagara Falls, and he was there talking with a Canadian. He was saying, and the Canadian was saying to the man, "That's the most powerful thing in all the universe." And the man who was there with him said, "No, I got to tell you, there's something a whole lot more powerful than that." The gentleman was a Christian. He said, "Sir, you're wrong. The greatest unused power in all the world is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit." You know what it reminds me of? Is that missions isn't just done by one person. It takes many people to do missions. It's a team spirit. It's a team activity. I go do missions, but someone prays for me. You go do missions, and someone prays for you. Others go with you, and yet there's people at home that are praying for you. That's what missions is all about. You see, when you think about planting trees that you'll never sit under, I can use God's power, first of all, for missions. But secondly, I can fulfill God's purpose for missions. I can fulfill God's purpose for missions. With His power, and because of His power, Jesus goes on to say, "You shall be my witnesses." Think about that. Before you sit there and you say, "You're telling me that I can be a missionary?" Yeah, you can. Remember, it was Jesus who made this statement. And remember who He was talking to in this passage of Scripture. He was talking to tax collectors, and He said, "You could be a missionary." He was talking to fishermen. He said, "You could be a missionary." He was talking to farmers, and he said, "You could be a missionary." He was talking to shepherds and said, "You can be a missionary." He was talking to homemakers and said, "You can be a missionary." He was talking to businessmen, and "You got it, you can be a missionary." He was talking to men, women, and young people, and he said, "You can be a missionary. You can be a missionary. You can be a missionary." In other words, he was talking to people just like you and me, and he's saying, "You can be a missionary." Oh, I pray today that in your heart is a missionary heart, that your heart beats for missions. You know, Dr. Bates, I was thinking, you know, there's no plan B for missions. We're it. We're it. There's really no plan B for God to reach this world without us. God's going to use those of us that are mission-minded and show His love through us. God's not going to do it any other way. There's no plan B. Christ alone can save the world, but think about this. Christ cannot save the world alone without you and I being His witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word witness should be a word that encourages us and doesn't discourage us. When some people think about witnesses, they're thinking about being some type of salesman. God never said you had to be a high-pressured salesman to be in ministry. God never said you had to be a high-pressured salesman to be on missions. No, He didn't say that at all. You know, what He really challenged us and remind us is that, as a matter of fact, a wonderful thing about how God uses us and He uses us as being His witnesses, that we're really not trying to sell anything. You know what? We're just telling the story. We're just telling the story how God came into our life and how He can come into yours too. That's what a missionary is. A missionary is one who just tells the story. Just tells the story and constantly keeps telling the story. You know, God hasn't called us to be lawyers and others, and if you are a lawyer, that's fine. But God hasn't said you had to be a lawyer to be a missionary. God hasn't said you had to be a defense attorney to be a missionary. God didn't say you had to be a great debater to be a missionary. God has called us to be His witness, and that's what He wants us to be, simply be His witness. In John's epistle, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "Those who believe in the Son of God have a testimony of God in them." That's what we have. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I have, you have a testimony inside. And that's all God wants us to get out. He just wants us to share his testimony, to share his word. Anybody here today in this room, in this sanctuary, who knows Jesus Christ, and they've come to a place in their life where they've given the Lord their heart and their life and asked him to come in, that you have a personal testimony. You have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. All that missions is sharing your testimony. Sharing that testimony. Now, you've shared a great testimony on behalf of Downtown Baptist Church of Orlando. You've shared a testimony all around the world, and you've received an award and an honor for that today. But you know, when you think about a recent Gallup poll discovered that 89% of Americans are very interested in spiritual matters, are intensely interested in spiritual matters. The problem is not that there are not people out there who want to know the Lord, who are not open to our mission efforts. The problem is we don't have enough people out there doing missions to make the effort to do missions. And I hope and pray we can change that in the years ahead. So when we think about planting trees we'll never sit under, we can use God's power for missions. I can fulfill God's purpose for mission. Thirdly, I can participate in God's plan for missions. You know, Jesus not only tells us what we are to do, but I love this. He tells us how we're to do it. He never leaves anything in secret how we ought to be missionaries. He never leaves anything for us to discover. He tells us how we ought to do that. He tells us where we are to do it, not only how and what, but where. You notice first in that passage I read in Acts 1:8, we just start in our community. We just start in our community locally. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You know, where was he standing when he said this? He was standing right smack in the middle of Jerusalem. He's saying, right where you are, the first place you do ministry is right here. The second place, he says, now you don't stop there, that's your starting place. He says, then you go to Judea and the Samaria. In other words, you go around the country. You go around the state, you go around the country. And lastly, he says, you leave this community. You leave this country and you go to the continents. It's fitting today that in your bulletin there was an insert about 38,000 people groups all over the world. To take the message. He says we are to go to the ends of the earth in Acts 1:8. To the ends of the earth. You know, one of my prayers, and you probably heard this, Dr. Bates, when I was standing before the executive board, that I pray that big churches, little churches, all across the Greater Orlando Baptist Association will partner together in the days ahead to go globally. And that every single person in our churches who's not been on an international mission trip will at least one time in their life go out and do missions somewhere outside the United States. It is amazing how it'll change your life. It's amazing how it could get a hold of your heart. It's amazing what God can do when you see how people need to come to know Christ, not only in the world in which you live and walk around every day, but in a world in which you do not walk around every day. And my prayer is that we will roll up our sleeves together as a family of churches strong, and we'll do missions not only locally and within our borders, but around the world. You know, when I think about missions always requires obedience, doesn't it? Not every church is mission-minded today. I wish I could tell you that every single church in the Southern Baptist Convention was a mission-minded church, but I cannot. Missions requires obedience. Missions requires a sacrifice. Missions requires a sense of spiritual adventure. And I pray that God might just take out the best of our churches and make them missionaries. Years ago, my wife and I felt the call to do missions. And so we stepped forward and we were appointed by the Southern Baptist Convention to serve as home missionaries up in the New England area. And what a wonderful time it was for us to plant churches all across the New England area and then the Northeast and the North Central states and all that. We left a comfortable area in Delray Beach, Florida and Naples, Florida and all that. And God sent us across the world. But some of the most fun I've ever had is taking missions abroad, taking missions to the places where most of us do not go, and watch how God shows up in miraculous ways and touches people for Christ. You know, 25 years ago, what people did for missions was simply this. They prayed and they gave money. That was the state of missions across most of Christendom 25 years ago. But it's so much different today. It's so much more fun today. There are so many doors that are being opened for the Lord Jesus Christ that we can not only pray and we should pray. We can not only give and we should give. But you know what? We can go. We can go. That's the excitement of missions today, is we can go. Whether you're young or whether you're old, we can go. We can go. And we can be part of doing missions. Now, as I think about missions, you know, it's really inexcusable for us to not talk about missions. Missions is the heart of who we are as Southern Baptists. And so the greatest need we're going to have today is for people to be willing to go not only here around the United States, but to go across the world. Business people, trade people, all types of people. There's a crying need today for business people and trade people to go out and do missions. We need doctors. We need dentists. We need teachers. We need construction workers. We need people who know how to put wells in. We need them all over the world. And I pray and I pray and I pray, whatever your gift is today, if you can't find a way to do missions, and your pastor, which I'm sure he can't find a way for you to do mission work, you call me. I'll work diligently to find a way that you can do mission work, because God wants to put all of us busy at the work of the plow of doing missions for him. And I hope that doing missions sounds exciting to you today. I hope that when you think about missions, it's something that excites your heart and warms your heart and makes you excited about what God's doing. But I got to tell you, none of this will ever happen. None of this will ever happen until one other thing happens. There will be a fire for missions in us. And it will never really be that ignition of fire in our hearts until we do one last thing. See, I can use God's power for missions. I can fulfill God's purpose for missions. I can even participate in God's plan for missions. But I must, and I pray that you will today, that I can discover God's passion for missions. See, God is passionate about missions. I know your pastor, who was a missionary abroad, is passionate about missions. And I believe when I tell you this last point, and I think about the most important point, is that I can discover God's passion, that you get excited about that. See, because your passion really determines your priorities. What you're passionate about determines your priorities. You know, if your passion is to make money, then that is your priority. If your passion is going out on the lake, then that is your priority. But when you make people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, or do not go to church a priority, people will become your passion. People will become your passion. And that's the kind of passion that I want. That's kind of the passion I want for my life. It's kind of the passion that I want for our association. And it's kind of the passion that I pray for each and every single one of us who call Christ our Savior. It is a passion that Paul talked about when he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, the most important thing in life is that I complete my mission. What a great statement. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. We need that type of passion today in the Greater Orlando Baptist Association. You need that type of passion in downtown Orlando. We need compassion for Christ. We need compassion of Christ for people. That's what we need. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is looking down from, you know, advantaged position, and he's looking down on the crowds, and he felt compassion for them, the scripture says in verse 37, because they were hurting and they were helpless. And he said, there are many people to harvest, and yet there's only a few workers to help harvest them. You know, there are hurting people out there. There are hungry people. There are helpless people out there. And it's up to the church, it's up to us to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me wrap this up with just a few quick statements to you, and then we'll wrap this up today. What is your life leaving a legacy for God with? When you think, when it's all said and done, when God comes to take us home, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, or whether it's 20, 30 years from now, whatever it may be, what's the legacy that you're going to leave for Christ in the church and across the community? In an age that really today we have a lot of people just live for themselves. A lot of people just live for their own means and their own ways and all that. They're just enamored by just their own things. What will the legacy be that you leave for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, planting trees that you'll never sit under requires an incredible dream. And I pray that you'll, as an individual, dream big for God. Because God can do it in your life if you allow Him. Planting trees that you will never sit under requires a level-headed modesty. As God begins to use you and bless you, that you'll stay level-headed. And then planting trees you'll never sit under requires a sense of urgency. Let me tell you, you can't wait till later to do missions. You can't wait till everything's fine to do missions. God only had one son. He sent him to be a missionary for us. And we only have one life to live, each and every single one of us. And I pray that we'll be found being missionary. There's no greater gift you can give to the family of God. There's no greater gift that you can give to the kingdom of God than to leave a legacy of doing missions, of planting churches, not only at home, but also abroad, all around the world. You know, if God tarries 100 years from now, what would God say about this church? What would God say about the Greater Orlando Baptist Association? What would God say about you as an individual and me as an individual? See, I learned a long time ago, I don't have to be wealthy to plant churches. I don't have to be incredibly well endowed to do mission projects around the world. All I have to be is willing. All I have to be willing. What will be the legacy that you leave for others? You know, most of the great legacies, I believe, Dr. Bates, in heaven are not going to be the names that you know from television, are not going to be the names that you know from people who write books. I think the great legacies we're going to learn about are going to be quiet churches and quiet people who just went about doing missions, went about being missional, went about acting and doing the things that God would have you to do to do missions around the world. So I just close with this challenge to you today. Are you willing to plant some trees that you will never sit under? Are you willing to keep supporting missions? Are you willing to keep supporting each and every Lord's Day through the cooperative program offering? When you take an offering each and every Sunday, you know a certain portion of that, and I don't know your proportions, but a certain portion of that goes to do missions around the world. A certain portion of that goes to support the local association, and I thank you on behalf of the Greater Orlando Baptist Association for that. A certain part goes to help home missions, and a certain part goes to help foreign missions. And are you willing? Are you really willing to invest your life? See, God not only wants to do all that, but God wants us to go. God wants us to go on short-term mission projects. And God wants some of us, maybe perhaps even here today, to go on long-term mission projects. You know, I've said it and I'll continue to say it for a long, long time. I think the single most important achievement, the most incredible achievement you will ever have in this life and I will ever have in my life is allowing God to use me, allowing God to use you in His missionary endeavor. What an incredible privilege, what an incredible honor that God gives us to be missional people, to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ and to plant healthy New Testament churches both around this nation and around the world. Now, the mission field's out there, and there are not thousands, there are not millions, but hundreds of millions of people just like who are waiting, just like you and me, who are waiting for someone to go and share with them, waiting for someone to go and say something to them about the cause of Christ. See, am I planting trees that I will never sit under? Yes, I am. And I pray you are. I pray you will. See, I am a missionary. You should be a missionary. I will be a missionary and continue to be a missionary. I pray that you will and continue to be a missionary. And until Jesus Christ comes, until that glorious day when He takes all of us home who know Him as Lord and Savior, that He will find me, He'll find your pastor. I know He will, the two of us. But He'll find you as well, doing missions, being missional, all for the glory of God, all for the glory of God. You know, I want to thank you today. I want to thank you on behalf of Southern Baptists everywhere. I want to thank you on behalf of the International Mission Board. And I want to thank you on behalf of the Greater Orlando Baptist Association and on behalf of Downtown Baptist Church of Orlando. I want to thank you, this dear church, and you dear people, for what you have achieved during this past year, for the great award, the great recognition by the Southern Baptist Convention and by the International Mission Board for what you have done to help in international missions. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up, both home and abroad. Keep it up until Jesus comes. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for this dear church. And I thank you for these dear people, Lord. I thank you that they have a heart for missions. They're being missional. They're going to continue to be missional. They have a great history of being a church that does missions. But Father, I pray today if there's a person here that says, you know, you talked about John 3:16 earlier, about God loving us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preacher, when you share that today, I have never believed in him. I've never given my heart to him. I've never allowed him to come into my heart and come into my life. And yet today, as I hear about people all around the world that are doing things for Christ, I've never done that because I've never first started with the very first thing of asking him into my heart. So Father, I pray today if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl who's never allowed you into their heart, who's never said, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins to you. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. If there is a person here who's never done that today, then in just a second as we sing, I pray they'll step forward and take this staff by the hand, take this preacher by the hand and say, I want to know what I must do in order to be saved. And Father, there may be some people here have been sitting back and just watching the world go around them. And yet you may touch their heart today to just say, I need to be more missional. I need to think more missionally. I need to think about leaving a legacy of touching people that they too will have a heritage one day when they go to heaven because I'm being missionary. So Father, whatever the decisions need to be made today, there may be some who need to come forward and just come to the altar and just confess unconfessed sin. There may be some who need to come to the altar and ask you, Father, today just to help in an area of need. Lord, you know the decisions that need to be made. I pray that we'll be obedient to your calling today. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.